Gzeira Shavav, Zadavar, Zadavar, linking Shchutei Chut to the law of Hataras Nadarim. So then the question was, well, how do you know that Hedyotos, that simple people, can be Matir Neder? So why don't we start again from that point? It's just four lines from the bottom of Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara asks Ula Beis Shammai. Now, according to Beis Shammai, the last Lug Zera Shava, they do not have a tradition to link the two sections, the law that you can't slaughter a sacrifice outside of the temple, and the law that you can annul a vow, because both have the same phrase, Zeh Adavar. They do not link the two. So now, Afaras Nadarim B'Shlosh Hedyotos Minalahu. How do they know that a vow can be annulled by three simple people? Even though the Torah said, Rashi Amato, speak to the leaders of the tribes, it really meant that even simple individuals, non-experts, can sit three of them and annul a vow. If you had the Gzeira Shava, then the source is from the fact that in regards to Shchutei Chutz, in regards to slaughtering a sacrifice outside of the temple, the Torah compared Aaron and his sons to all of Israel. So then it's as if it says here, all of Israel. But we don't have that Gzeira Shava. So according to Beis Shammai, what's the source? So the answer is, Nafkaluhu, they learn it from the following source, Midatanya, as we learned in a Braisa. Pasuk says, Vayidaber Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe commanded the holidays of God to the children of Israel. What's that?
Could we learn today as a refuah for Tzortel Bas Estechana? She's sure. Needing a liver transplant.
Amen. So this should be a merit, refuah shlema for Tzortel Bas Estechana, for sure. So Midatani went in a brisa. Vayidaber Moshe Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. The verse says, and Moshe said, the holidays of God are commanded about the holidays of God to the children of Israel. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili explained, Moadei Hashem Namru, he commanded the holidays of God to the children of Israel. That's to teach that Shabbos Bereishis lo Namra. He didn't command Shabbos. And Azai Omer ben Azai says, Moadei Hashem Namru, the holidays of God were said. Hafaras Nadarim lo Namra, the annulment of vows were not said. So the Gemara now explains, what does this price mean? Rabbi Yossi bar Nasan, Kamila Lohamas Nisa, he had learned this Braisa, he'd heard these words, Lo Yadale Pirushi, he didn't know what it meant. So Azal Basred Rav Sheshes Lenaharda, he pursued Rav Sheshes all the way to Naharda to ask him there, travel to Naharda to try to find Rav Sheshes to explain it to him. Lo Ashkache, he couldn't find him there. So Azal Basrei L'Mechuza. So then he pursued him all the way to Mechuza. Ashkache, and there he finally found him. Amar Leis, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Nasan asked Rav Sheshes, my, what does it mean, this idea of Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Moadei Hashem Namru, the holidays of God were said, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Namra. Shabbos, which commemorates the creation in 6 days and resting on the seventh, wasn't said. What does that mean? So Amar Leis, Rav Sheshes explained it to him. Moadei Hashem, Tzrichin Kiddush Bezdin. The holidays of God are actually sanctified by the court. Because what happens is, let's say now we're in the month of Sivan. But imagine 2 months ago, Nisan, we're about to get to Nisan. So the way the system was set up, you never knew how long a month was going to be. Towards the end of a month, so now you start looking, okay, has the moon disappeared yet? The moon then disappears after 28 days, and then you wait to see the moon reappear. If two witnesses caught the moon appearing again, they could go to the court, tell the court, we saw the moon appear last night, and the court could say, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month. If the witnesses didn't see the moon, or if the court doesn't accept their testimony, so then today's not Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow would be Rosh Chodesh. So the court, when accepting the witnesses, would say, Mekudash, Mekudash, the day is sanctified, today is Rosh Chodesh. So that would be what would make the holiday 15 days from this day into the holiday. It would make 15 days from this day into Pesach. So actually Pesach gets created by the sanctification of the court. But Shabbos Bereishis, but in terms of Shabbos being Shabbos, that the seventh day is a day of no work and has holiness. Ein tzricha kiddush bezdin. There's no need for the Beit Din to sanctify it. Beit Din is not creating the sanctity. Now, Sa'akadai Tachamini, you would have thought to say, Ho eluksivi gabe moado, since in Parshas Emor, when the Torah talks about all the holidays, it also mentions Shabbos. The verse says, Moade Hashem asher tikru osamikra kodesh elehe moadoi. These are my holidays. Six days work shall be done, and on the seventh day it's the holy Shabbos. So since Shabbos is listed with the holidays, I would think that maybe Shabbos also needs to be created by the court. It should need to be sanctified by the court, like holidays are sanctified by the court. Kamash Malan. That's the point of the verse. The verse says, Eile Moadei Hashem. Vayidaber Moshe Moadei Hashem l'bnei Yisrael. Moshe taught the holidays of Hashem to the children of Israel. Moshe was saying the holidays of Hashem are in the hands of the children of Israel, but not Shabbos. Shabbos is not in the hands of the children of Israel because Shabbos happens automatically every seventh day. That's the view of Rabbi Yossi. Then we had Ben Azza. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Nasan asks Rabbi Sheshes, what's the idea of Ben Azza? What did he mean when he said, Moadei Hashem Namru? When it says, and Moshe commanded the holidays of God, the holidays of God were said, Hafaras Nadarim Lo Namra, annulling vows was not said. Answered Rav Sheshes, Moadei Hashem, the holidays of God were said, Tzrichin Mumchin. They were given to the Jewish people. You need experts to make it a holiday. You need members of the Sanhedrin to cross-examine the witnesses, accept the testimony, and make the day into Rosh Chodesh. Hafaras Nadarim Eina Tzricha Mumchin. But when it comes to annulling a vow, you don't need experts to annul a vow. Even three hedyotos, three simple individuals, can annul a vow. But the verse in Parshas Matos says, this is a command to the leaders of the tribes. What do you mean it doesn't apply? You don't need leaders, you can have simple people. So now the same answer we saw earlier. The reason why the Torah mentions leaders of tribes is to imply that there's such a thing as Yachid Mumche. That if you have a great giant, a great leader, he alone can annul a vow. But if you have three, you don't need leaders. You can have regular people. So now, just to conclude the Gemara. The Gemara got into the whole discussion of Zeh Hadavar because we were saying that the command of an heiress who inherits land to only marry within her tribe was only for one generation. How do we know it was only for one generation? So the suggestion was, because the fact that the Torah uses the phrase Zeh Hadavar, this is the matter, this is the matter's limitation. It applies to this generation. So what do you mean? So does that mean that other laws also only apply to this generation? Let's say the law of not slaughtering a sacrifice outside the temple, the law of annulling vows is only for this generation. So I'm going to say, no, there's a separate Gzeira Shava. Based on the Gzeira Shava, it applies to multiple generations. So here it says Gzeira Shava. No, there's no other law other than this point that we're trying to learn from Zeh Hadavar. We could have just left the whole thing out. What are those laws in annulling vows that are learned from the Gzeira Shava? Oh, we learned from those laws, from the Gzeira Shava, we law that simple people can annul vows. We learn that you can even annul the holiness of a karban. So what do you mean? According to Beis Shammai, you can't annul the holiness of a karban. So yeah, Beis Shammai doesn't have the Gzeira Shava, that's true. But according to Beis Shammai, though, so the Gemara says, so how do you know if you don't have a Gzeira Shava that you can have simple people annulling a vow? So the answer is because of a different verse. The verse says, in regards to holidays, Moshe commanded the holidays to the Jewish people. It means the holidays were told to the Jewish people, but something else not. So what not? What it means is like this. The holidays were given into the hands of the courts, the hands of experts, but annulling vows, even though it's done by a court, was not given into the hands of experts. Even simple people kind of null vowel. So then why did the Torah mention explicitly it's a command to the leaders? That's to say that a single great leader can also annul a vow. Yeah, question, David.
What were you saying, according to those people, that the Havamina is that Shabbos would have to be sanctified by the rabbis?
By the court, yeah.
How would that work? Like, they were sanctified at the beginning of the month, so we know the count.
Maybe no, they would have to say on a Friday evening, the same way you make Kiddush Friday night, they'd have to say it Friday night. Today is Shabbos, and if they didn't say it, it wouldn't become Shabbos.
What are they kind of measuring or judging to see if it's Shabbos?
They don't have to judge. They have to make a declaration. It has to be in their hands.
So, Rabbi, they had this court system in all over the world, and all the Jews followed the same rules. Like, all the Jews weren't living in Israel.
Okay.
They were, some different part of the world.
But sanctifying the new month had to be in Israel. That couldn't be done elsewhere.
So how the news got spread to the other.
So initially they had torches, and then once the Sadducees started messing up or playing with the signals, they used to send horsemen to travel from place to place to tell people the news.
That's how Cheney started.
Maybe now they'll use Facebook Live or Ustream or something. So the Chafetz Chaim said when they came up with the telegram, he said it was created so that when Mashiach will come, the news will spread. To get the news out. That was the telegram. Can you imagine what he would have said? And now, all the, Facebook and other things, who knows? Okay, so now we have a Gemara that is familiar to us. A reminder, we had this back in Masechet Tanis. It was the last conversation in Masechet Tanis, and that's because we just mentioned that initially the women who inherited, so they could only marry a man from within their tribe. So there was one generation, and then the law was reversed, and the law was allowed that they can marry men from other tribes. Because the verse says, Zeh Adavar, this is the matter, it's for one generation. So the day in which, according to the verse I read, the day in which they discovered, that is, the court discovered this verse. Now we're looking at the verse and said, oh, it says here only Zeh Adavar. So it's only for this generation, was on the 15th of Av. And that's, according to one opinion, why the 15th of Av was such a celebration. Because it was the day when this law was promulgated, that now all could intermarry tribe to tribe, even the women who inherited.
Is there any reason why... the whole point that they couldn't do it was because they were going to lose the land, but then if they could do it the next generation, what was the point of the first initial kind of, what were they trying to accomplish by...
Well, because now the land, maybe most of the overwhelming majority of the land was already rooted, right? Even if a girl would marry if she inherited, but her father, her grandfather, those who entered the land, their land was initially in the right spot. So, Tanan Asam, we have a Mishnah, it's the very end of Tractate Tanis. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo hayu yamim tovim li Yisrael kechamisha aser ba'avuch yom ha-kipurim. During the times of the Second Temple, we know Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, he was the head of the court during the times of the Second Temple. He actually lost the Second Temple during his time. So he said there were no days more celebratory for the Jewish people than the 15th day of Av, and Yom Kippur. Shebahan, what was this big celebration? On these days, Benos Yerushalayim, the daughters, the women of Jerusalem, Yotzot Beklei Lavan Shulim, would go out, all the girls wearing borrowed white dresses. I see here in the Masifta, they say that the dresses were made of silk. Shelo Levayish Mishayla, why would everybody borrow? Because that way, if a girl didn't have, and she has to go to a friend to borrow, she doesn't feel bad that she's borrowing because everybody is borrowing. So in order to prevent someone who doesn't possess from being embarrassed and having to borrow, everyone went out and borrowed. And they would then go out, as we saw in Masechet Tanis, and they would make circles. There was a circle of the girls who had a good family. There was another circle of the girls who were beautiful. There was another circle of girls who had a lot of Yirat Shamayim. And they would be dancing in these circles, and men would come, and shiduchim would be made. It would be a huge, huge single scene and, marital day. So that was the happiest day. So So the Gemara says, Bishmal Yom Kippur, I understand why Yom Kippur, it's a reference to Motzah Yom Kippur, to after Yom Kippur. Why it was turned into such a happy day, Yom Slichu Mechila, because it's right after the day of God forgiving and atoning for all of our sins. And that's the day of Yom Shnitu Meluchos Achronos. That's the day when we got the second set of tablets. El Chamisha Sabav, but the 15th of Av. Mayhi, why is the 15th of Av such a celebratory day? So I'm Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo Zebazeh. That was the day when all the members of tribes were allowed to marry within each other. In other words, that was the day when the court read the verses and discovered, hey, this law that we've been doing is only for that first generation, because it says Zeh Davarir. My Darish, what was their source in the verse? The fact that it said Zeh Davar, which means Davar Zeh, this matter, Lo Yei Noeg, Elo B'Dor Zeh, should only apply to this generation. That was one explanation. Remember this, we had the same Gemara in Tanis. Rabbi Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a different explanation of why the 15th of Av was such a celebratory day. It was Yom Shutar Shevet Binyamin Lavoba Kahal. It was the day that the tribe of Benjamin was allowed to once again marry within other tribes. Because we know there was a terrible story in Benjamin. This is the end of the book of Judges. There was a Levi who comes to a town in Benjamin called Giv'ah, and he comes with a concubine, and no one's willing to host him in their home. So in the end, no one's willing to host the concubine in their home, so the concubine is left outside in the street. He goes into a house to sleep, and then the whole town gathers, and they all have intercourse with this concubine, one after the other. She was raped by many, many people, and she dies by all of the assault. And she died because of the assault. And as a result, this Levi goes and he cuts up this concubine into 12 pieces and he sends a piece of the body to each of the tribes saying, look at what happened in the tribe of Benjamin. So all the tribes are livid. They gather to go to war against Benjamin. Benjamin says, no, we're going to defend our people. You can't punish them. We'll punish them ourselves. So there's this huge civil war, and eventually almost the entirety of the tribe of Benjamin is wiped out. Now the verse says there that after the tribe of Benjamin was almost fully killed out, the people of Israel swore in Mitzvah saying, Ishmi menu, no man of us, lo yitain b'no levinyamin li'isha, will not give any of his daughters to Benjamin to be a wife. So Benjamin's people, there are very few of them, they had no ability to intermarry. But on the 15th of Av, it was reversed, and they allowed them again to marry with the other tribes. My Darish, again, what was their source? They interpreted the verse that said, Mi menu, no man of us. From us we won't give a wife to Benjamin. Velomi b'neinu, but not from our children. Our children, now it's a new generation, they can give wives to Benjamin. So that's possibility number two. Why it was a happy day. It was a happy day because the women who inherited land could marry into other tribes, or after the first generation when we entered Israel, it was a happy day when the members of the tribe of Benjamin were allowed to marry into other tribes. But suggestion number three. We have Dimi Bar Yosef Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Dimi Yosef and Rav Nachman, Yom Shekolu Bo Meisei Midbar. It was the day when all those who were dying in the desert stopped dying. As we know, the Jews believed the false and negative words of the spies. And as a result, they cried in the 9th of Av, in the second year when we left Egypt. So God said that entire generation has to die in the desert. How did they die in the desert? Every year in the 9th of Av, those who were 60 years old would go out of the camp, they would dig graves and lay down in the graves, and they wouldn't wake up. The next morning, they were dead. So on the 40th year, they did that. They went out, they dug graves, they laid down in them, but the next day, they woke up. So they figure maybe we're off with our calculations. Maybe it's not really the 9th of Av. Maybe it's the 10th, it's the 8th of Av, the 7th of Av. So they did it again the next day. And the next day, finally, the 15th of Av was a full moon. They said, well, we're certainly not off on our calculations. The full moon is certainly the middle of the month. So that means that the decree was annulled. So Amar Mar, as we said, Achlo Kalu Meisei Midbar, before the dead of the desert, before that generation was wiped out. In other words, as they were dying, Lohaya Dibur Moshe, God didn't speak face to face to Moshe. Shenamra, that's what the verse says, Vayikasher Tamukol Anshe Milchama Lamus Mikarev Ha'am. when all the people of that generation, the people of the war who fought with Hashem by believing in these spies, when they died out, or when their decree of dying out was finished, the Samechle, then you have the next verse, V'yidaber Hashem Eli Lemor, Hashem spoke to me, Eli Haya Dibur, then the conversation is again face to face. It was a very happy day. We got the conversation with Hashem again back. So that became a day of celebrating, and they used to make big marriages.
Rabbi, the tribe of Benjamin got wiped out, you said?
Almost wiped out. There were only 200 people left, and then they brought back.
They were killed by other
tribes?
Yeah, it was
a civil war. That's right.
They had a civil war going.
That's right.
Wow. But that's where the kings and the brains are coming from.
A couple generations later, that's right. From the tribe of Benjamin come kings,
so they
right?
killed our future leaders, you know.
They didn't have a choice, yeah. All right, so we've had three suggestions what makes the 15th of Av a celebratory day. The 15th of Av is a celebratory day because it's the day when the heiresses, the women who inherited, could intermarry. The 15th of Av is a celebratory day. It was the day when members of the tribe of Benjamin could intermarry. The 15th of Av is a celebratory day. It's the day when back in the desert, the generation stopped dying and Hashem started to communicate again directly, face to face with Moshe Rabbeinu. Suggestion number 4. Ula Amar, Ula said, the 15th of Av is a happy day because it's Yom Shabbat Bo Hoshea Ben Allah Pardasos Shehoshev Yiravam Al Hadrachim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Aregel. We know that the Jews in Israel were divided into two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Judea and the kingdom of Yisrael. The kingdom of Judea had only two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin. The kingdom of Israel and the other 10 tribes. Now there's a rule that in the holy Beis HaMikdash, only a king from Judea, only a king from David HaMelech is allowed to sit. Everybody else needs to stand. So there was a law of everybody going up to the Beit HaMikdash 3 times a year. Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. So Aliyah LaRegel, to go visit the Beit HaMikdash. So the people, the king of Israel, Yeravam ben Nevat, was upset. He said, I'm going to go to the Beit HaMikdash, I'm going to have to stand. I can't sit. Meanwhile, my opponent, my rival, Rechavam, who's still the king of Yehuda, he's going to be sitting. So people are going to say, he's more honored than me. He said, you know what? Nobody go to the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody stop doing the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. No one's allowed there. And he put guards on the roads to prevent people from going. So those guards were removed by Hoshea ben Allah. And when did he removed the Ben Ela? When did Hoshea ben Ela remove those guards? Maybe he removed it on the 15th of Av. That's why the 15th of Av was a happy day. Yeah. So that's suggestion number 4. Rav Masna gave suggestion number 5. This is way later. We went from the times of the desert, now we're at the times of post Second Temple. After the Second Temple, 53 years later, the Jews rebel, led by Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiva endorsing the rebellion. And 3 years later, that rebellion is put down. Where is that rebellion? Where, you know, that's where you have the whole thing of Masada. Where was that rebellion put down fully? That rebellion was put down fully in the place of Beitar. So when the Romans wiped out Beitar, they did not even allow the Jews to bury their dead. And that went on for 20 years. The dead were not allowed to be buried until finally we could get them buried. So Rav Masna Amar, Rav Masna says, what was the day that we could bury them? The 15th of Av, Yom Shnitna Ruge Beit HaLukfur, was the day when the dead of Beitar were allowed to be buried. The Amar Rav Masna said, also Yom Shnitna Ruge Beit HaLukvura, that day that the dead of Beitar were allowed to be buried finally, Tiknu B'Yavneh, in Yavneh, the Sanhedrin, which was in Yavneh, added a new blessing to the Birkat HaMazon, the blessing of Hatov HaMeitiv, God who's good and He does good. Hatov, He's good, as expressed in the fact that for 20 years there were dead bodies in Lo Yisrichu, they did not decompose in any way. V'HaMeitiv, and He does good, Shenitnu L'Kvura, that these dead bodies were allowed to be buried. Yeah, question, is he?
No, I'm saying, the Betar of today is
nearby, yeah. Rabba and Rav Yosef, Tami Tavayu. Now we have suggestion number 3 from Rabba and Rav Yosef. They both said, what makes the 15th of Av such a happy day? It's the day of a siyum. It's the day when we complete a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of wood for the altar. Yom Sheposkin Bo Milichos Etzim LaMa'aracha. It's the day that they complete the chopping down of wood for the altar. We know that the wood of the altar has to be good, dry wood. If the wood is moist, there might be worms in it. Wormy wood is not, can't be used in the Beit HaMikdash. If the wood is moist, it might create lots of smoke. We want good, dry wood on the altar to have a good, clear, clean fire to throw the meat of the sacrifices into it. So in the times of the Second Temple, we know that in Israel, in the summer, it's very dry, it's very sunny. So throughout the summer, they would be going out into the forests and people's, you know, wood, you know, areas, wooded areas. They would cut down wood. And they would use that wood for the altar. But starting with the 15th of Av, so it starts to get a little chilly, it starts to get a little moist, you start to feel autumn coming. So they would no longer be cutting down the wood because now the wood might be moist, it might be wormy. So the day that they finished with the mitzvah of cutting down the wood is the time to make a party, like a siyum, when you finish a mesechta, you finish a mitzvah, you make a celebration.
The Kohens were not, didn't like the smoky meat, Rabbi?
No. Nope. God doesn't like the smoky meat. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. The Belezer, God the Lomer Belezer says, once the 15th of Av comes, Tashash kocho shelchama, the strength of the sun weakens. It's not as hot outside, it's a little chilly. And therefore, v'lohi karsin etzim l'ma'aracha, they would no longer be cutting down wood for the piles and the flames on the altar. Amar Rav Menashe said, because of that, the Karolei had another nickname. It was called Yom Tavar Magal, the day of breaking the axe. We're no longer using the axe. Nikan ve'elach. Now, once you can't be out there cutting down the wood, and the nights are starting to get longer, so take advantage. Demosif, you should add to your learning of Torah. There's longer nights, so take away time from the night to learn Torah. After all, the main learning should be at night. And Yosef, if you add, you will have things added to you. Sheino Mosif, if you don't take advantage of the added time to add to your learning of Torah, Yosef, you deserve to be wiped out. Now Yosef, what does it mean to be wiped out? Tanya of Yosef, Tikber Ime, his mother will bury him. He deserves to die. Okay, so that completes the exact same Gemara that we had in Masechet.
So Rabbi, why don't we keep up this 15th of all the
same? In Israel they do, you know, they make it a big thing in Israel. You know where they want to make it a big thing? In Shiloh, because Shiloh was where the tribe of Benjamin used to come to marry women. So they've tried in Shiloh to make it a single scene and all sorts of things like that.
At least on the Shidduchim side, you know, it'd be a great day for Shidduch.
It's a very good day.
The same generation here, they're going to give you whiskey, and they're going to drink, and they're going to go crazy.
Well, they can give whiskey, and all the women can be wearing borrowed white dresses, and dancing in circles, and the eligible men can have shidduchim.
And the chayim is included. Don't worry about it. You know.
All right, so we spoke about Yoshua and Kalev. So now the Gemara talks some more about those who left Egypt. Taner Rabbana, we were taught by our sages in a Braisa. Shiva, there are seven individuals that Kiplu is called Olam Kulo, that amongst them they fold the entire world between them. In other words, when the second one was a child, he saw the first. And when he was an old man, so the third one saw him as a child. And then when the third one was an old man, the fourth one saw him as a child. And you go from them, you go over the whole world. So what's that? Adam HaRishon, right? Adam HaRishon, he lived a very long lifetime. But he was seen by Mesushelach. Mesushelach Ra Adam. Mesushelach saw Adam. Mesushelach, we know, died right before the flood. Now shame, the son of Noach saw his grandfather Mesushelach. His great-grandfather, Mesushelach. But Mesushelach died a week before the flood, and Shem was 100 years old at the time of the flood. Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Ra'as Shem, he saw Shem. Amram saw Yaakov, because Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years. So Amram was already in Egypt, because when he was a little child, 5 years old, Kahas came into Egypt. Kahas was the father of Amram. So Amram saw Yaakov. And Achia Shiloni Ra'es Amram. He saw Amram. That was their tradition. And we know Eliyahu HaNavi was a student of Achia Shiloni. Eliyahu Ra'es Achia Shiloni. V'adayin kaim. Eliyahu HaNavi is still alive. So between these seven people, you have all of human history. Asks the Gemara, V'Achia Shiloni Ra'es Amram. Did Achia Shiloni, who was the teacher of Eliyahu HaNavi, see Amram? But doesn't the verse say about those who left Egypt, there was no man left other than Kalev and Yoshua, everybody else died. No, what that means is everyone eligible died, but there were those who weren't eligible to die. This decree that the generation should die was not said, it was never said for the tribe of Levi. And Achia Shiloni was from Levi, because the verse says, in this desert your bodies will fall. And all of you who are counted, to all of your numbers, we've been Esrim Shana Vamala. So Misha, from the age of 20 and above. So Misha, Pekudah Ben Esrim. This week's parasha, those who were counted from the age of 20 and above were included in the decree. Yatza Shifto Shalevi, to exclude the tribe of Levi, Shepikudami ben Shloshim Yom, who gets counted from the age of 30 days. So the Gemara asks, now is that true, Mishar Shvatim Lo Ayil, that from the other tribes, no one came into Israel because they all died out, other than Kalev and Yoshua? I have a time, we have a braisa about Ya'ir ben Menasheh. Yair ben Menashe and Machir ben Menashe, Noldu bimei Yaakov. They were born in the days of Yaakov. V'lo mesu ad shenichnasu la'eretz, and they only died once we were in the land. Shenam, as the verse says, about Ai, v'yaku mehem ansheya Ai, the people of Ai killed amongst the Jews. Kishlo shem v'shishish, like 36 men. So what does it mean, like 36 men? Tani v'lentin abraisa. Shloshem v'shisha ma'amashtiv Rebbe Yehuda. It says it means that they killed 36 men. Amalur b'chnechemir, b'chnechemir said Rebbe Yehuda. V'chi namru shloshem v'shisha, does it say 36? Alolo namra ela kishloshem v'shisha, it says like 36. Elas, what does it mean? Zay Yair ben Menashe, and I, they killed Yair the son of Menashe, who's like 36, because the Sanhedrin is 71 judges. So 36 is a majority. Sheshakol kerubah shel Sanhedrin, he's equal to the majority of the judges. So you see Yair ben Menashe, he's living all the way when we get into the land of Israel. So clearly he didn't die, even though he's from the tribe of Menashe. Elam Ravacha bar Yaakov, Ravacha bar Yaakov answered, Lo nigzrag zera, this decree of the spies causing the people to die was never promulgated, Lo al pachas mi ben esrim, not to those younger than 20, Lo al yesrim ben shishim, not to those older than 60, and Yair was older than 60, Lo al pachas mi ben esrim, dichsim mi ben esrim, shana v'mala, not to those younger than 20, because it says from the age of 20 and above, the Lo al yeser mi ben shishim, and not for those older than 60, because gamar umala v'mala me'erichin, because it's a gzeira shava, it says here v'mala and above, and it says in regards to consecrating one's value, v'mi ben shishim shana v'mala, so mala halan, so just like over there, yeser mi ben shishim, if he consecrates his value when he's over 60, it's like younger than 20, kipachs mi ben esrim, it has the same value as somebody less than 20, namely 15 shekel, Afkan, so to here, Yasim ben Shishim, those who are over 60, Kepachos ben Esrim had the same status as those younger than 20, and they did not die due to the sin of the spies.